Psalm 23, famous psalm, one of the most, probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible, probably one of the most read passages in the Bible besides Genesis 1:1, and I say Genesis 1:1 because everybody starts to read their Bible and then, you know. Psalm 23, this is the perspective of the sheep, here. And David, when he writes this, he's in a bind and probably just meditating and thinking about things through his life. It says this, Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray, and we're going to... I don't have necessarily a theme for this one. I just want to hit some of the high points in this famous psalm here, but let's pray. Father, thank you for a good afternoon. I pray folks that received Bibles and tracts would read them and, Lord, would believe what they're reading and it'd have effect on their lives. I thank you for the folks that came out and did that work. Lord, I do pray for the folks that are sick, and it seems like we have so many of them sick today and this week. And Father, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies and get them back on their feet. Lord, thank you for getting Tony and Tammy back here safely. Pray they had a good trip and good time with the family, and thank you for bringing them home safely. And Lord, thank you for your words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd feed your flock tonight. That's what one of the things that this psalm is all about. And I pray you would do that tonight. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the Lord is my shepherd, and I know it's a famous psalm. Even unsaved folks have probably read it and derived some sort of comforting thoughts from the psalm itself. But I read through this, and it's all about the Lord's leadership. And it's written from the perspective of this. If the Lord is your shepherd, then as David's talking, he's talking as one of the flock. Like, I'm a sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd. And so that's the perspective. You know, if you could imagine a sheep talking, these are some things he would say about the Lord. And that's what David does here. You know, This is one thing that comes to mind as I read through a psalm like this. People like to read through this and I guess claim that idea. Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, all those things. And you got the description here. And he talks about being led in a certain path and led here and Jesus Christ leading and all that kind of thing. And so, but here's the thought with all that. If the Lord is the shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd, then that means you're following the Lord. And if you're not following the Lord, then the Lord isn't your shepherd. Understand? Then something else is leading the path. Something else is leading the way. And there's a lot of books about, you know, I've got some books on the bookshelf in there about leadership and things like that. I don't really think you can read a book and become a leader. I don't think that really works. I mean, there's books like that and stuff like that. If you do these things, and then this, you know, I understand that maybe there's some pointers here and there, but I don't think reading a book will make anybody a leader. I don't think reading a book really make anybody anything, unless it's the Bible and God's trying to make you into something. But more important than books on leadership, I think more important than that, according to these verses, is maybe something called, I don't know if you'd call it followship, I don't know, but following, learning how to follow. And if there was probably anything that hinders people's Christianity nowadays, it's you want to claim the Lord as your shepherd, but people don't know how to follow the Lord. So it's one thing to say, hey, God is my shepherd, but if God's not leading, he's not really your shepherd. Something else is your shepherd. Maybe when, you know, when sheep get astray or go astray, and that's one thing. I mean, if we're like sheep, we are prone to wander and prone to stray, and that's why it's so important to have a shepherd, have a good shepherd, and that's why it's such a blessing that the Lord is a good shepherd. It wouldn't lead you astray. But I think sometimes I don't know if it's something we think about or just don't like what the Lord says to us to do or instructs us to do, so you don't like the leading of it. But the bottom line is, if you don't know how to follow, then he's not really your shepherd. So whatever else is leading you, is directing you, the wants, the desires, the thing you're chasing after, that's the thing that's leading you. And I notice in verse 1 he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. But man, Christians, we have a lot of wants. And it makes me wonder if we have a lot of wants, is the Lord really the shepherd? I mean, if we're constantly chasing after these things, these are the things that get the sheep in trouble. You understand? I mean, that's the desires over here. Hey, maybe the grass is greener over here. Maybe if I go over here, I can get something better out of life. Maybe if I do this over here. And we like the idea of God being a shepherd, but we don't really like the idea of God being the leader. And we don't really like the idea of following God, but we like the idea that God is a good shepherd. And so it's kind of goes back to what we were talking about this morning. We like the symbolism of the thing, but we don't really like the actual substance of the thing. So there are some things that go with being a sheep in these verses, and there are some things that go with God's leading as a shepherd. Now, understand this is David talking, and I'm sure he has great experience with this and can really relate it to his own life, having been a shepherd. But in these verses, I mean, you find out the shepherd determines where the sheep eat. The shepherd determines where the sheep sleep, where they get rest. The shepherd determines the path the sheep will take. The shepherd determines all of these things about the sheep's life, determines where the water is going to be found. He determines all these things. And then as a result of the shepherd determining these things, the sheep would say something like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because I have a good shepherd. And as long as I'm following the good shepherd, then wherever we are is where we're supposed to be. If I'm supposed to be in the valley, then that's where I'm supposed to be. If I'm supposed to be over here and things don't seem to be right, but I know I'm following the shepherd, well, then that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm just supposed to be here. So just to give you a few thoughts on this, and I just, like I said, I got a few thoughts. I don't have really a theme that goes with this other than maybe, you know, the Lord being a shepherd and us being sheep. The reality is, if you're following the Lord, he is your shepherd. If you're not following, then something else is your shepherd. And if you're following something else beside the Lord, then some of these things may not be true in your life. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then I take a look at my life and I say, man, I got a lot of wants. Does that mean the Lord is, maybe I'm not following the Lord? Because if I have a bunch of wants that I'm not controlling, that I'm not trusting the Lord for, it's really an indication that I don't really trust my shepherd. I don't really trust him to take care of the things that I need, and I don't really trust him, so I'm going to have to make some things happen. I'm going to have to go after some things. I don't trust him to comfort me the way I need to be comforted. I don't trust him to give me the rest I need to have, or I think I need to have. So I'm going to go create the comforts and the rest and the things that I think I need. And all of these wants that I have are probably an indication that the Lord isn't exactly guiding my life. So the very first verse, I mean, it gets quoted regularly, but maybe not thought about regularly, but if the Lord is my shepherd, and the result of the Lord being my shepherd is, I shall not want, well, I'd take an examination of my own life. How much do I actually trust the Lord in that? If I trust him to take care of me, if I trust him to handle the things that I'm going to need, if I trust him to do some things that need to be taken care of, that I can't take care of, that I don't have a responsibility to take care of necessarily, if my wants are out of control, then just from verse 1, then maybe the Lord isn't my shepherd after all. Second thing is, in verse 2, you see this one, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I read that and I thought, you know, that's so true of sheep, of us as Christians. You know, he didn't say that he leads me to lie down. He said he makes me lie down. Like, I'm not going to lie down and rest. He's going to have to make me stop. He has to put the brakes on and say, this is where we're stopping, and we're not going any further. And so, I mean, you guys can probably relate to some of this stuff in your life where the Lord will strip a lot of things away and force you into a place where you don't have any more options. And what he does is he just makes you lie down. You're going to stop here. We're not going any further. You're going to lie down here, and this is where we're going to be for a while. I thought that was the way he says that. He maketh me to lie down. Not that he encourages me to lie down or you know, he leads me to a green pasture or something like that. It's like he makes me lie down. And that's something, man, we just get going and get going and get going, and we don't stop going, we don't stop running, we don't stop moving, and then there comes a point in time where, you know, I've heard somebody say it, maybe recently, they said, you know, you got sick, got in the hospital, and they said, I don't have time to be sick. you know how it feels? I don't have time to be sick. Well, I think sometimes the Lord makes that stuff or allows that stuff or puts that stuff in the path there to make somebody stop and lie down and say, look, we're not going any further. We're going to get some things accomplished here. And I can't get them accomplished if you keep running around like this. You're going to have to stop, and you're going to have to eat a while, and you're going to have to lay down, and you're going to have to rest a while. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Well, if he's leading, I heard a pastor say this, if he's the one leading, then why are we where we're at? I mean, in some cases, in some lives, in some families, in some decisions, that could be true. You could look at your own life and say, well, if he is my shepherd, then why am I here? How did I get in this position? Well, maybe he wasn't my shepherd. Maybe I just put myself in a position that he wasn't leading me in. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. I think it's interesting. You lie down in green pastures. That's like this. A sheep lying down in green pastures is like having the entire your place of rest is also the table you eat from. The place of rest is also where you get your food. I think about that with church and getting together as a church family and things like that. And I personally find rest on Sundays. I mean, I know people say, well, it's the only day of the week I work, so it's, you know. I know, it's all good fun. But anyway, I find rest on Sundays. You get to open the Bible and pray and get together as a church family. And you find rest in the same place that you find food. I notice that in my own personal life. You guys can probably testify to the same things. You start finding spiritual nourishment. You start opening the Bible. You start getting fed the Word of God, man. And it gives you rest. It's like, I've found what I'm looking for. This is what I've been looking for. And if you came from a background where you weren't Independent Baptist, you know, grow up reading and believing the Bible and things like that, then you recognize the change that happened in your life. I mean, I recognize it in my life. Where when I started getting a hold of and believing the Bible and getting fed the Bible, it's like I found what I'm looking for. And so I got the rest in the same place where I got the food, if that makes sense. He maketh me to lie down. That's rest in green pastures. That's where I eat. Maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Boy, that's good. Restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is the voice of a sheep saying, I trust my shepherd. No matter the circumstances I'm facing, I trust where we're at. I trust his direction. And if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I mean, here's David talking about this 1,000 years before Jesus Christ shows up. Then Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, dies on the cross, gives his life for the sheep, then resurrects from the dead, and that's even a better statement. I mean, in the New Testament, because death really has no power over a saved soul. I mean, it has. You understand? There's some you know, it destroys the body, all that kind of stuff. But I know. Laura Hensley was here this morning, and we were talking before Sunday school. And she said, "Well, I didn't wake up with a tag on my toe, so I'm all right." And I said, "Well, even if you did, you'd be all right." And she's all, "Amen. I'd be all right anyway." I mean, death doesn't hold any power anymore. I mean, I understand there's separation and grief and all that stuff, and that stuff happens in this world, in this life. But as far as the good shepherd who's given his life, who's conquered death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What is there to fear anymore? What am I supposed to be afraid of? My good shepherd is leading me, and if this is where we're going, this is where we're supposed to be. I'll fear no evil. Look, it's not my job as a sheep to fear. It's my job as a sheep to just trust the shepherd. If we go over here, this is where we're going. If we go over here, this is where we're going. It's not my job to be afraid of what's going on around me. It's just my job to trust the shepherd and follow the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. There is trust on the part of the sheep toward the shepherd, and that results in this. No fear of evil. Not worried about that stuff. You know, it's not my job. It's the shepherd's job to nourish, to restore, to lead me to the food, to lead me to the water It's my shepherd's job to take care of the wolves and the things that are going to come out and all those kinds of things and the predators that are going to show up. It's not my job to be afraid of those things. It's my job to just trust the shepherd. Then he says, verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." I thought that was... It's interesting. He doesn't take away the enemies. He just prepares a table in the presence of them. You know, so often, you know, when you have bad circumstances, when you have bad things happen, the natural result or the natural tendency is, "Lord, take this thing away." But so often the Lord doesn't take something away. What he does is he gives you something in the midst of that so that you go through it with grace. You go through it with the things you need, and that's like this. He prepares the table in the presence of mine enemies. He doesn't get rid of mine enemies. He doesn't destroy the enemies, not yet. What he does is he gives me something in the presence of the enemy. The things that are against me, the things that would be predators against me, things that would serve to hurt and to destroy my life. He doesn't take them away, but what he does is he prepares a table in the presence there. He says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." I try to put myself back into, you know, think about what David is thinking about here, writing this stuff and being hunted down and probably in a bad place, in a bad way, in bad circumstances here. And then he says, "My cup runneth over." Like I've not only been given enough, I've been given more than enough. I've been taken care of better than I ever thought I'd be taken care of. I think if each of you guys went through this psalm, you would have probably different testimonies of how the Lord has restored your soul, how the Lord has taken care of you, how the Lord has filled your cup to overflowing. You know, I can't think of another way to spend my life than doing what I'm doing. I can't think of another way to spend my life than, or a Christian spending their life than serving God. Just making the Lord your shepherd and following the Lord. And as a result, he says, "My cup runneth over." And it's not that nothing bad happens. It's not that I don't encounter bad circumstances. It's just like in the New Testament with Paul and Silas and some of the fellows in the New Testament. They're being persecuted. They're being put in jail. Yet they're singing in jail. They're praying. They're enjoying fellowship together. They're preaching boldly. And they're enjoying life in the Spirit of God, being actually lived out. "My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Boy, I can't even imagine. I mean, at this point, I can't imagine. I can't imagine living a life not knowing what happens to me when I die. I can't imagine living a life where there's no hope at the end. I can't imagine living a life like, I mean, I've been saved several years and all that, and so my thought processes and all those things, it's hard to put myself in a position like that. It's hard to think like that, and maybe some of you share the same thing. To try to think of, Here's a verse, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's somebody who's, you know, you're secure. You understand where this is going. You understand where this is headed. Here's David. He understands where this is going. He understands the future. He has hope. He has comfort. He has assurance. He has some things that are nailed down. When you look at the world, though, they're just not nailed down. Where are you going when you die? I don't know. Nobody can know that. You guys have heard those things. Nobody can know stuff like that. Well, I mean, he wants you to know stuff like that. The Lord wants you to know. He wants you to be comforted. He wants you to have hope. He doesn't want you to live a life of hopelessness. Here's David. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A future hope. And all of this stuff, if you had a theme to all of this, it's describing what happens to a soul when the Lord is their shepherd. So it's the perspective of a sheep. And that's what it is. It's the perspective of God's flock. And I guess the application, or one application we could make to all this, is this. We like the idea that God is a shepherd. But if God's not leading you, God's not your shepherd. Something else is your shepherd. And some of these things may not be true. Some of these things may not be true. However, if you're willing to follow the shepherd, if God is your shepherd, and you'll take instruction and leading from the Lord, then these things are true. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the perspective of a sheep. More specifically, that's the perspective of God's flock. That's the voice of God's flock. And you get to ask yourself, is the Lord leading me? That's one thing that we're instructed as Christians. You know, he says, be led by the Spirit. Because you're going to be led by other things. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Good Shepherd. He gave his Spirit to give good leadership. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I hope we can all say that. I hope that's true. I hope we can find areas where, if he's not being your shepherd, maybe you can address those areas where he needs to be your shepherd. And I don't mean... You know, some of the things that we talk about, I'll wrap it up with this. This can lead to a pretty, I guess, passive state of mind where I just don't need to do anything and God's the leader. You know, sometimes God being the leader as the shepherd means I've got to do something. I've got to follow. It doesn't mean I just sit back and let him do whatever he's going to do and I just sit back and watch. Sometimes being a sheep means I've got to purposely take steps to follow my shepherd. And when he says this needs to be done, and he gives instruction about this thing needs to be done, and he gives instruction in my life about, hey, you're going to have to dress this, you're going to have to take these steps, that means me as a sheep, I need to take those steps. So it's not just a passive, okay, the Lord is my shepherd, and I just, you know, la la la, I'm just a little sheep. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I got to take the steps my shepherd wants me to take.